Outlet Liquor is your place to buy a case. Stock up and save when you shop the lowest prices available every day at Outlet Liquor. You never have to wait for a sale. The more you buy, the more you save. Only at Outlet Liquor.
What's your outlet?
Folks, welcome back here on Trainwreck Tonight, 338, sponsored by your place to buy a case, Outlet Liquor. It's April 22nd. We got a big 420 weekend to recap. We got the NFL draft on tap. We're going to talk with Tracking Scheffler, Scheffler Legion. Scotty Scheffler may never lose again on the PGA Tour, folks. Oh, yeah, and by the way, Lindy Ruff is your Buffalo Sabres head coach. Let's go.
You don't stop.
Alrighty, folks, what a time to be a Buffalo sports fan. You got a big draft ahead, the end of the Stephon Diggs era for the Bills, but one era ends, another restarts in the form of the Lindy Ruff era for the Sabres. So let's get them in here. Slick L. Excuse me, boys. My friend, our friend, Jake Micah. Yes. Lindy Ruff is back at the helm of the Buffalo Sabres. I don't even have the banner typed out. This happened so recently. We're just getting set to record here. But what are the initial thoughts? What are the initial feels? What are the initial vibes?
I saw a Brother Bill tweet, and I thought it was pretty well put. He said, I want to feel like I'm hyped, but I just don't know. Initially, I am hyped. I love Lindy. I just don't want this legacy tarnished. So this is either going to be a huge letdown or a wild ride to the playoffs. So I'm excited. And I have faith in Lindy. He's the greatest Sabres coach of all time. So,
yeah, I've been calling for Lindy when this coaching search started, or if they were going to get rid of Don Granato even before they ended up firing him. It makes a lot of sense from a lot of different ways. What they need, the type of voice they need for this team, is Lindy Ruff. He's going to be a hard ass. He's going to be on these guys. He's not going to be their best friend, their buddy. And they were asking for that too. But Lindy's definitely not going to do that with this group, especially knowing what he has to come into, the way he has to set the tone with them. It's going to be hard practices, and guys are going to get, guys getting benched, demoted a lot. It's going to be a lot of that kind of stuff early on. That's what this team needed. They need to get shaped up. But also just some juice for the fan base as well. Like, honestly, for a PR move, it was a no-brainer to do, because while you're going to have people that are like, oh, we don't want to go back to somebody else, or, he hasn't had great success even gone without him. This it's not like the arena's full every night. It's not like you could have a lot of coaching moves that would inspire, a couple tickets getting bought or some excitement around the team besides this one. It feels like a no-brainer to me. And also, I don't think the dude should have been fired in the first place. Like, the issues that he got fired for were not his fault. It was the team construction that they failed to keep up, and then he was dealing with that issue. So, yeah, it's unheard of to have coaches that long in the league, but it felt like it was premature even when it happened. And this feels like the right group for him to come in and have a real impact.
Yeah, I think we talk about finishing the story. Sometimes you got to rewrite the story, because when you think back of Lindy Ruff getting fired from the Sabres, that's not how you want that to end. But we're talking about juice. We're talking about vibe. The Sabres just released this video. Let's all watch it together.
Hell yeah.
The new head coach of the Buffalo Sabres, Lindy Ruff.
What really got the team started was the way Dominic Hasek played. Last 3 months of the season, the fans had made a huge difference. We had this building just rocking.
I'm going to leave you with two words. No goal.
Pierre with it. Shoots one off the goal. Score! Now Stafford goes flying in there. Ruff's trying to get in there.
He's getting near goal. Do your goal.
Communicate, be happy, let's go in and say, come on.
Great road trip! Great road trip!
What is called? Poignant video tribute to Lindy Ruff, to salute the man who was behind the bench for so many, many years. They don't forget, they won't forget.
I mean, I'm ready to line someone up at the blue line. I don't know about you boys.
You're ready to become a nail gun out there.
Lay the smack
down. I mean, I think it's exciting. I think a lot of people are having the same reaction that you did, Micah, where it's like you are almost more nervous, like that, you know, his, you know, legacy or whatnot as a Saber is gonna get ruined by like coming back. But I think you guys hit the nails on the head. You know, you couldn't fire the team when they got rid of him, so it was easier to fire the coach, and that's what they did. And clearly, you look back 10 years, went back to when he was to get fired. It was clearly not the right decision. Clearly was not better off for the organization. So I think that just about puts a dot on it. Any final thoughts, though, on Ruff back as the Sabres coach?
Well, you just made a great point about, like, the fact that this organization hasn't had an identity in 10 years. And now, like, Lindy Ruff kind of was that identity. Like, the coach, like, he was – the way that he coached, the way his personality is, the way he's still, like, even – in the summers, you see him bopping around Buffalo, showing up at rinks, like, you know, enjoying the waterfront and everything. Like, this guy has embodied Sabres hockey for most of his life in the NHL. And this team needs an identity. They need a culture shift. And it started under Don Granato and these players. But I feel like Lindy is going to really enhance that and kind of show them exactly what it means to be a Sabre. Because what does that mean the last 10 years? Like, really, what does it mean? I think that Lindy can kind of bring that organizational pride back, which is what these players need more than anything. We had all the talk about, you know, the players not coming out into the middle of the ice after, like, we had all these random things about that. That's not going to happen with this guy at the helm, and I think that that's more important. It's not something you can put on paper, it's not something you can, like, point to tangibly, but I think it's important to what this team needs going forward, at least from Kevin Adams' perspective, if you're looking at it that way.
Speaking of intangibles, seeing as something you can't put a value on, Gatesy in the house here on Trainwreck Tonight, 338. Gatesy, Lindy Ruff, new Sabres coach. Give me your thoughts. Give me your vibe.
Well, if the Sabres are looking to add buzz to next season and make people care again, this is the selection for the Buffalo Sabres. You're going to have fans who may have checked out the past couple of years. I mean, how? We're in a 13-year playoff drought. They're going to see the name Lindy Ruff. It's a coach's name they recognize, a coach's name where they remember some better days. This team had some success. He's back at the helm. And I think, honestly, this is a – I don't want to say a gamble pick, but, you know, you're tailoring to a certain audience of Sabres fans, I think. You know, as much as Kevin Adams says, this isn't a nostalgia, you know, signing for the team. It has a lot of nostalgia written in it because just the name Lindy Ruff. If you want a coach to bring more – a little bit more jam to this team – Lindy's a guy. There's also other guys that could have gone out and gotten, but I like this pick. I mean, it's a name that we know as Sabres fans of times when we were much happier watching this team, but I think this will be good. This team really needs a guy that's going to get under the player's skin. They all talked about it in their, you know, locker room cleanout interviews. They need a little bit more accountability. Lindy Ruff is going to bring that to this team.
Lindy Ruff's going to make him eat those words. He's going to have him doing triple suicides or whatever it is in practice. They'll be wishing they were held accountable, Slick.
I remember in 07 when the Sabres used to practice at the then Pepsi Center, and I watched a practice of the Sabres that year when Lindy was coaching. These guys came off the ice gassed. I mean, they're coming out of the locker room, bags over their shoulders, still gassed, huffing and puffing. It was crazy to see, especially those caliber of players that we all looked up to at the time. And like Gatesy said, this does bring back the feeling of better days, which is something the Sabres haven't had in a very long time. And Micah made a great point, because as soon as he left the realm, that's when the downfall started. And we haven't really had anything to be excited about since then.
Seriously, not a lot to look forward to. Gatesy, I know you popped in a little bit later here. Any thoughts on just anything you wanted to add in on the Sabres to put a button on it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big issue for the Sabre organization right now is making people care again. This is going to do it. Game one, people are going to be tuned in to see what is this new Sabres team going to look like with Lindy Ruff at the helm of things. We've seen the past forever. I mean, they've just been so inconsistent. Will Lindy Ruff fix that? We'll find out come October, but it's at least going to be a step in a different direction, which any direction is better than the course they've been going down. So we'll see what happens. And I've got faith in Lindy.
Speaking of the course and speaking of no doubt, Scottie Scheffler has been leaving no doubt. Wins in four of his last five tournaments, including yesterday at the RBC. Well, this morning at the RBC, getting it done in rare fashion. And in rare fashion, we have a guest we're happy to bring on, Scheffler Legion, who tracks Scottie Scheffler at every tournament. Let's go and see what he has to say. All righty, folks. And at this time, my next guest keeps thousands to tens of thousands of people up to date on the hottest golfer on the planet. Let's bring him in right now. It is Scheffler Legion, aka Cena. Cena, welcome to Trainwreck tonight, sir.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. That was a great intro. I appreciate it.
Hey, we need the pizzazz because you deserve it. You're covering the number one golfer in the world right now. Scottie is coming off another victory, but it seems like the only thing that can stop Scottie is the weather or some kind of craziness on the PGA Tour scene. He gets it done at the RBC Heritage, even on this Monday morning.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was worried that it wasn't going to finish last night, and, like, I don't know, something would happen or just, like, you know. I mean, I knew he was going to win by, like, the fourth hole. I mean, I messaged you, I think. I was like, hey, so interview tonight at 9, right after, the fifth hole or something like that. So I was pretty confident he was going to win after the eagle and then the birdie. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, totally. And we're coming off the Masters win, obviously. So talk to me about this weekend's event overall, though, because Scottie has kind of a slow start. I think it was a double bogey in the first round, very uncharacteristic, a little bit of a sloppy play by him. Were you, like, at that point in the middle of the first round, after the first round, were you just kind of like, oh, well, you know, it's been a nice start to the season. You know, the bump in the road was coming eventually. Were you kind of resigned to the fate of this tournament, or were you thinking, you know, he's still got, you know, potentially 54 holes. He could still make some noise in this.
I mean, no, I actually never did really doubt Scottie, honestly. I was like, same thing at the Masters. I was really like, it's Scottie Scheffler. He has such great numbers. He's playing so well right now. He is absolutely crushing the tour. I mean, he just won by three after being down five in the first round, like you said. I was like, this double bogey hurts, but in the long run, I feel like Scottie can come back from anything. And I'm like, he can absolutely win this tournament still. There was like, 69 holes left at that point. And that double bogey definitely wasn't great on three, but he can take advantage of these holes like nobody's business.
Seriously. And then he goes on that run in the second and third rounds, and it's just like the Scottie we've seen so far this season. So talking about the run, now you obviously do the tracking on Scheffler Legion. The run has been almost just as big for you and the account, I would say, as Scottie. I mean, not to say that you get $16 million for what you've done or whatever, but what, the account has basically doubled or almost tripled so far this season?
This season, I think it's almost tripled. Yeah, I think we started like the year at like 2,500. I was actually like, a while back, I was like, hey, for every 200 followers I get, I'll give away one t-shirt at the Travelers. So right now I'm kind of in a bit of a hole for the t-shirts, but we're figuring it out. We're going to have like a giveaway and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, it's really been resounding. I mean, obviously like the Portnoy effect with him, you know, retweeting me and like shouting me out and stuff. It's really been huge for the account, and it's really just brought tracking Twitter of golf into the limelight.
I was going to say, so obviously there's more eyes on Scottie ever, like you said, Portnoy kind of shouting you out slash, I would say, calling you out. Like, you know, that's a pressure situation for sure. I mean, when you, he's kind of like the eye of Sauron, you don't want to be there. But with that said, what do you think has been the crazier part of this? Scotty's success and everything, or things like that, like Portnoy and them calling you out, or like, you know, shouting you out, things like that. What has been crazier to you personally?
As a content creator, I'd have to say it was a bit crazier to see Portnoy just quote tweeting me, but just because, like, it was just like, it was surreal because I grew up watching some of his content. Like, I didn't even know he followed me. Like, my friend was like, dude, Dave Portnoy just followed you. And I'm like, really? I didn't believe it. And I'm like, you know, it's just like, Scotty's run is insane. And I really appreciate it. Like, at this point, I'm like, he won. And I'm like, I feel like a bit entitled saying that. But, you know, it just, all of it together is just absolutely insane. The run he's on and the publicity I'm getting on the account, it just, I can't thank people enough. I always say thank you, but it's never enough, you know?
Seriously, it's never enough. Seems like Scotty is thinking the same way because people were like, you know, down in the RBC, he can just mail it in. You know, he's got to get home. He's got the wife and everything. But of course, he looks to win it. He looks to get it done. Speaking of getting it done, so obviously anybody could have done this. You know, this was like kind of a, I don't want to say it was a fad or whatever, but it was definitely something that was picking up steam a couple of years ago with people tracking these golfers with the way that the PGA works and everything. So did you create this account after the 22 Masters or before the 22 Masters?
So I created this account right after he won the 22 WM Phoenix Open, which was his first win on the PGA Tour. And gotcha. The story behind that, I think I've said it a couple times before, but like, it was basically, I looked up some basic things about him because tracking, I feel like, is a big commitment. And like, you have to be able to like be on, track the person, give insightful commentary. You can't just say like par, par, par. You can't keep saying that. You have to give your own twist into it. And I was like, I have to be
attached to this guy. Spice it up a little bit.
Yeah, I have to be attached to this guy in some facet. And I'm like, all right, let me look. And I'm like, he's born in my hometown. No way. And it's like, it's just like this one thing. And I'm like, wow, he's born in Jersey. I didn't know that. I always knew him as a Texas guy. So it's just insane to me. And that's really how it came together. So that was the link.
And then when you do most of your tracking, are you doing that on like TourCast? Are you typically trying to watch on like a streaming service? Where do you typically do that from?
So I try my best to watch as much as possible, but you know, PGA Tour coverage is not great. Like, if it's a feature group, I'll definitely try and watch. If school doesn't get in the way, I'll definitely try and watch. It's just all up to that. TourCast, I try my best not to use it as much as possible, but it's definitely a helpful asset in trying to track. But for the most part, it is watching the actual broadcast and giving my insight into what Scotty's doing and all the shots he hits.
Gotcha. And obviously, you know, this run that Scotty's on, what he's been able to accomplish, especially the last couple months, has people talking Scotty versus Tiger. Two things I want to talk to you about. It was talked about last week and it was talked about this week, especially kind of that like effect that Scotty's having on the other golfers where there's like 9 to 12 holes left and they're a couple strokes back. They know they kind of get desperate. You were seeing, you know, bogeys and double bogeys yesterday. Do you think that's only going to continue to build as an advantage for Scotty going forward?
I definitely think it's going to be I think that's going to happen more just because like you've seen it and you saw in the Masters, like, he was ahead by what, one stroke, and then instantly like water ball on 11 for Kawa and Aubert, I think. And it's like, and then he has this 3-stroke lead. I think it's just like, I mean, Aubert, I think was more, I mean, those were more like just actual like accidents on their part. But like, I think it's just like the stress that Scotty brings because he's gotten what, 10 wins in the past 3 years now on the PGA Tour. It's just, it's definitely something to be scared of as a golfer. I don't think it's like you can just take the threat lightly of what he brings to the course. And he has just like the mindset where like he doesn't care what anyone else does. He just cares what he does.
Seriously, he does stay in his own lane. Obviously, we have Tiger had seven consecutive wins in a row in 06-07. I don't know if Scotty's going to be able to match that, but I want to talk to you about 2024 and what could be ahead. Obviously, we got the Masters in our rear view. Scotty was basically 7-9-1, if you look at the odds, for a lot of these tournaments, you know, at the beginning of the year. After he started performing well, he got lowered to, you know, 4-1 to 3.5-1 for the Masters. And that's been the same case for the other majors. He's now 3.5-1 for the PGA. He's 5-1 for the Open. And he's 4-1 for the U.S. Open. So with that said, that puts him at about even money to get another major. So I'm going to put you on the hot seat right now, Cena. Do you think that Scotty gets it done again in 2024? Do you think he gets another major added to that collection this season?
1,000%, if I had to say.
1,000%.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that. I like confidence in your guy. I like it going there. Speaking of which, real quick, before we send you out of here on Trainwreck tonight, are you a big golfer yourself?
Yeah, but I wouldn't say I'm good.
Yeah. Hey, well, listen, that doesn't mean that you don't have to be good to be big about golfing. So, like, an awesome catching up with you. We're looking forward to great times for Scotty Head, and thanks for having a great time with us here on Trainwreck tonight, Cena.
All right, appreciate you having me on.
Of course, thanks for your time. Make sure you're following, tracking Scotty at Scheffler Legion all season long. Follow the number one golfer with the number one guy here, Cena. Thanks for that, and have a good night now, sir.
All right, thank you. Have a great night, y'all.
Outlet Liquor is your place to buy a case. Stock up and save when you shop the lowest prices available every day at Outlet Liquor. You never have to wait for a sale. The more you buy, the more you save. Only at Outlet Liquor.
What's your outlet?
All right, thank you very much, Scheffler Legion. But gents, it's kind of tough to think about the rest of the show's topics. It almost feels like you're like crush texted you or something, like with the Lindy Ruff signing. But I know we'll get to the rest of it here. 420 weekend slick. We were at Herbal. We were at Rec Room. We were at Sports City on Saturday. We hit the Trainwreck trifecta. Gents, I don't know how your perspective weekends were in Pittsburgh and everything, but a lot going Pittsburgh and Chicago. A lot going on. How was your weekend? Let's start with Micah and Gatesy and then go to Slick.
Great weekend. I mean, what a confluence of events to have 420 weekend, NBA and NHL playoffs start on the same day. It was a great start to the Saturday. My Cavs got a big win, big dubs over the Magic. I was a little bit surprised by that. There was some great action all day long. Yeah, man, that's literally like, I mean, what is Saturday? That like the opening day, if you get the NHL and NBA playoffs, maybe top five calendar day in sporting calendar. Like that's a big day with a lot of stakes around, a lot of hype, excitement and hype. So it was great for me. How about you, Gatesy?
Yeah, things are great here. You just can't beat this time of the year. I feel like we've been saying it for a while now. Like the weather gets nice out. We got golf on our screens. We got NHL, NBA playoffs. Like, and things here, it's final season. Getting ready for those, actually going right from to take a final. So, you know, preparing the best way I can, talking about the NHL playoffs, because the NHL season's just been the craziest season we've had in a while with all these storylines. And it's delivered this first weekend. That Colorado-Winnipeg game was just absolute nonsense, followed up by Vancouver and Nashville's nonsense. This is going to be a really fun playoffs to watch in the NHL, and the NBA has been a lot of fun too. So, I don't know, Slick, what are your thoughts?
Guys, recently we had an eclipse. This Saturday was a slick eclipse because not only was it slick Saturday, it was 420 and the start of both the NBA and Stanley Cup playoffs. I mean, what more could you really ask for from a Saturday perspective? I had a great time. It was successful. Like Maniac said, I got him out of the house to like three different places.
That's true. That was an accomplishment. I was out at a bar at 5 p.m. So that was definitely a lot. Rec Room was a great time. Dewey's Islanders couldn't pull it off for me, though.
No, they couldn't. We'll see what they got tonight. But other than that, like Gatesy said, so many great series in hockey this year in the first round. It's literally insane. And then I'm loving this NBA action, too. It'll spice up a little bit. But a lot of teams looking good. A lot of contenders that could win a title this year.
So, by the way, I mean, I hate to slander like this, but I guess Rec Room doesn't really, you know, cut their teeth on their wings. So, we posted the wings, Slick. And yes, Ali thought they were...
We need to talk about this.
Ali, okay, good. I'm glad that you saw this because Ali said they were good. You know, all indications like Gatesy, Micah, I don't know about, you know, your thought. But, you know, so you got those. The one right here definitely looks a little iffy, Nevy, looking at that,
that
way.
That one looks soggy for sure.
But with that said, I mean, I was shocked again because I asked Ali if they were good before I posted them because I don't want to post wings that ended up tasting bad. Or if I said they were good, every single person, ignore the ads, just hated them. Grossville, USA, somewhere I don't want to go. Applebee's.
Oh no!
I don't Grossville, USA, and Applebee's.
I don't think our wing reviews page has ever had that many replies to a tweet.
KFC.
Might have, but like not that many hate replies.
This is what I love though. It wasn't Brewpub, but Brewpub newspaper gives it away. Here's good the one. Headline. That's actually a great pun, but it's just he's a little bit off. But worst wings I've seen in quite some time. So yeah, that was shocking. What one?
No, it's all good. It's all good.
Okay, yeah, it can be a little dangerous, but but yeah, not exactly great. So not the best wing review on the weekend there. We'll see if Rec Room has a bounce back performance, but
it's a great spot to watch NHL playoffs, even if you think the Wings
look. Yeah, of course. It was an amazing atmosphere. A great spot to also see a concert, Slick, as we learned. Lots of leg room for certain performances.
For sure.
With that said, lots of room for going forward this week. We got the NFL draft. Obviously, NBA, NHL playoffs roll on. But the NFL draft will be what we're talking about. So we'll have our team at Sports City Pizza Pub from right around 6 o'clock through when the Bills pick, whether that's, 7:30 p.m. or whether that's 10 p.m. But the other thing we'll have going on is myself and intern Vinny will be at Resurgence with our next guest, Buffalo Food Slot. All righty, folks. And at this time, it is a pleasure of ours to bring on an honor, a great distinguishment to welcome on a guest who knows what's what, because she is the Buffalo Food Slot, Madeline Hall. Welcome on. Welcome to TT. How you doing?
Always good. I mean, right now I'm in a tropical paradise of Bratz Hill. Nothing like our Luke Holmes tailgate with 30-mile-per-hour winds and snow. So, I just had to change the vibe today.
I was going to say, you were toughing it out this weekend. You obviously had Friday and Saturday out there. So it seemed like Friday was really the night that caught people off guard. That was when people really got caught flat-footed with the outfits. Was that the vibe you were seeing?
It was so funny. Definitely both nights. But Friday, people had no clue. Because if you were in the city, there was no wind. Because when I was leaving my house, I was like, oh my God, it's so much nicer out than when I thought. Because the sun was out for a half an hour while leaving, but thank God I just know that this going to the stadium is so different. And pulled up to the stadium, and I mean, my job position at one point was to hold down a tent that had over 60 pounds of weights on it, and it just would not stay. So we got these huge forks that were this big to go in the tent. I mean, it was ridiculous, but people were wearing Daisy Dukes and flannels, and they were just sticking it out, and I was just oh my God, these poor girls are not from Buffalo.
Seriously, it sounds like they were sticking it out, not the way they planned going into the concert. So talk to me about the actual concert. Did you go to both nights?
No, John went to both nights, my business partner, owner of Game Day. But I went on Saturday, but we had a box, which was pretty nice. We had a few different tickets to go to, but then our friend was like, hey, we have a box, you guys can come in it. And I was like, let's go. And it was nice and warm. But I mean, the tailgate, it was crazy. I'll say that it was 90% clientele that we've never met before, which is obviously what you want. We have so many returning customers with Game Day during the football season, but this was a whole different demographic. And so many of them were coming up to me that they found me from TikTok, which I thought was awesome. And they're starting to follow Game Day. We just launched a TikTok for Game Day as well. And so a lot of them were finding it from me, going on there saying, hey, we're looking for a good barbecue place. Hey, we're looking for a live band. And those videos were popping off and people just wanted to come. And then if you were listening to Luke Holmes on Spotify, underneath, I don't know if you saw our post, but it said, join Game Day Hospitality pregame before Luke Holmes concert. It was right on his Spotify. So many people were listening to Luke Holmes all week and then clicked on the link and brought him to our tailgate.
That's pretty amazing. Getting that Luke Combs push, So are you a big fan of country music? What was your vibe from the concert outside of the professional BFS networking extraordinaire aspect?
So I am just like, I mean, my sister always loved country music. My other sister always loved country music. So I've definitely been listening to it like a little bit more, but anytime anyone invites me to a country concert, I'm going. You know why? They put on the best goddamn show. They sign guitars. They bring on people to the audience. Like, it is, they just create an atmosphere where, like, I've gone to rap concerts. I feel like they come out, they do their thing, they leave.
I think that's fair. I went to the Zach Bryan concert that was here about a month ago. It's like you said, they kind of cultivate a little bit better of an energy, a little bit better of a vibe at a country concert. It's kind of like something that you're all in together, an adventure 100%. You're all in together.
But like, I had no break, man. Like, I just came back from my trip from Mexico and had to host a 420 party and then two Luke Combs concerts back to back with a really bad concussion. But you know, I champed it out. I went surfing in Mexico and the instructor did not see a rock and pushed me right into a rock, and then the surfboard was at my face like a goddamn bungee, like, what do you want to call it, like a whiplash, like the board came at my face. I don't know if you saw, but I had an insane black eye.
I did not notice the black eye. I did notice that you were doing like the like hokey pokey, like it was 1 foot in like Buffalo terrible weather, next thing you know you're in a bikini in like Mexico. I did notice that you were doing the hokey pokey on the weather on the ground.
I thought I was gonna come home and it was going to be summer, like easily. I'm like, perfect. I'm going to come home and it's going to be like 70 degrees out, and like, not the case. I mean, it was 70 degrees.
Girl, you know better than that.
This was a little extra. I mean, it's deep in, like, it was snowing at the tailgate at one point. Why weren't you at that? I thought you were going to come by.
I was, truthfully. We got stuck at, first off, on Friday night, my buddy was in town from California. I know that sounds like a made up excuse, like my girlfriend from Canada. I know that sounds made up. But then the second day, we got stuck at Herbal IQ on 420. Herbal 420 at the Luke Combs concert must have been hysterical.
Dude, we were smoking so much goddamn weed. I was laughing my ass off. I'm like if this was a Bills game, they wouldn't allow any of that stuff. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
true.
It was a free for all. Like, if you looked at the concert, like, it was just a cloud at one point.
I like the cloud. Can't argue with the cloud. It was a good weekend to be a cloud. I want to talk real quick about the past week. First off, Game Day Hospitality, 10K Instagram followers. Big to add that figure. Big to go from that comma to that period in the 10K, the 10-1K. You know,
no, you know, I mean? John's so funny. He literally calls me. He's like, we're about to hit 10K today. I already made a post. And I was like, let's go. I don't think I've made a post once when I've hit those brackets, it's but exciting. It cracks me up. Maybe if I feel like hit like 50 or 100, like I'll like make a cake for myself or something.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think you're going to do something a little bit more outrageous than that, but yeah, time will tell.
My anniversary parties only get more and more insane. And every anniversary party, like this year will be my fourth year anniversary and I'll hit 40K. So it's like every year, like it hits that.
I like it. I like it. On track, yeah. Staying on schedule. Speaking of staying on schedule. So game day this year, doing the away games. I know we got to get to the draft talk, obviously. But what away game are you looking forward to most out of the gate here?
Seattle.
With the ones you have planned? Seattle? Well, Seattle, so, the Northwest.
Yeah, never been to Seattle. I heard their food is absolutely insane. Their coffee's great. I think Seattle's like, I don't know any stats about it, but people talk about it. They absolutely love it. So I'm super excited about that. But also we launched like 9 cities this year. So like, we're just going to be traveling all over the place. I like forget where else we are this year. Are we in Detroit? What are the other places we're in?
Looks like we got 4 planned. I mean, you got to tell me. Can I click on the site here? Probably not. But yeah. That's why you got to go to Game Day Hospitality and check it out for yourself, folks. That's a nice little plug.
Yeah, I'm just mostly excited for Seattle. You know, like that's where I want to be. That's we're gonna obviously be like. I think we're not gonna do a pregame before the Florida one, like we did last year, but we want to do the night before, like a welcome party. And we're going to try to get like a big DJ or something crazy. Like we want to host a banger in Florida.
Okay, I'm down for that. Speaking of hosting a banger, we're talking Bills season. Obviously, those are the away games. The draft, though, this Thursday, Resurgence, the spot to be?
Yeah, $45 for open bar for 4 hours. Like, what? And food. And then we're going to have different vendors there. 26 Shirts is going to be there, which we love Dell. He crushes it. I think the Mafia Babes are going to be there. BFS is going to be popped up, of course. And, I mean, Resurgence is awesome. But everyone can try our beer. Because I don't know if you know, but we have official Game Day Hospitality beer now.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm all like in favor. Super, super excited. We're doing some photo shoots this weekend at the tailgate. So super excited that people can sample that. Obviously, there's going to be a ton of giveaways. You guys are going to be there. There's going to be some podcasts going on. But the draft party is just going to be so excited for everyone to just get excited again. Do you have like any idea who you think we're going to draft?
No, I hope we trade up and get Marvin Harrison Jr. It'll be good. It'll be a quick, fast night for us versus picking at 28.
Yeah, so like, I don't know how that all works out at all, but you know, is that's someone that we've been looking at, like a prospect?
Well, right now it's more like, you know, it's kind of hard. Like, okay. Like, imagine like you're going out to eat at a restaurant on a Friday night and you're not worried about making content. You're not worried about anything. You're just worried about having the best meal possible for your Friday night. You're going to look at like this option. You're going to scroll on this option. So you're looking at all these. So people are seeing, you know, everyone look at all these. Everyone's seeing Brandon Bean scrolling through these prospects. But at the end of the day, he's only going to pick one. So it's kind of like almost like The Bachelor or The Bachelorette going through these prospects. They get visits. Some of them come to Buffalo. Some of them don't. But, you know, you never know. You really never know. So, but we'll see. Wide receiver is the rumor, though. Wide receiver seems to be what
okay. Yeah, because like we lost Diggs. You know, John's more the crazy football fanatic. That kid, it was insane. When we were at the Super Bowl this year, we were staying at the Caesars Palace. And we
the real
not,
Caesars Palace?
Yeah, the Caesars Palace. Yeah. And we're there. And the honors ceremony was going on. But it wasn't going on at Caesars. But there was a major bus stop for all the players to come and go through Caesars Palace to get picked up there. And it was next to the coffee shop that John and I were working at. And I don't know who anyone is, but all of a sudden, these insanely beautiful 6'5", dark and handsome men just keep walking by. And I'm like, I know we're in Vegas for the Super Bowl, but like, what is going on? Like, because everyone was just so nice. And then John's like, then we talked to someone. They're like, oh, this is a pickup for the honors. And he knew every single player from retired to playing to their mom to that. Like, I was like, oh, my God. I'm like, you're just insane. Like, football players have helmets on. So, like, unless they're, like, on buses or billboards over Buffalo, like, I have no clue. Like, I was just at Bratz Hill today, and Cook was here. Is this James Cook?
Yeah.
So I had no clue. And Jess, the owner's like inviting him to this dinner party thing. And I go, is that your friend? I'm like, I don't know who that is. She's like, Madeline, it's James Cook. I'm like, oh, the guy who says, let him cook.
The guy who says, let him cook, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, it's perfect. You know, I live in La La Land, but it's great.
Hey, listen, there's no better place to live than La La Land. Let's get you on a high note here, though, because I know summer's coming up. I know you got all kinds of stuff going on. What summer event are you looking toward to most? What new thing, you know, or new thing in Buffalo are you most excited to try? What are you most excited for these coming weeks?
Well, I have an awesome dinner with me, Chef Redbeard, and a New York Times award. This guy who's a cannabis chef is coming to Buffalo and doing a whole entire dinner and hired me and Chef Redbeard to do some marketing and have him cook. So that's super exciting. Me and Jessica Bryan, Chef Darian's wife, are wanting to do a breakfast sandwich pop-up because there's not enough great breakfast sandwiches in the city of Buffalo. There's only like two, which like I love my Remedy and Bread House, so or Bread Hive. So we're going to try to do something like that. And then, Taste of Ellicottville. And Taste the Buffalo. Have you ever gone to Taste the Buffalo?
Taste the Buffalo? Yeah, for sure.
It's like a damn bar crawl. I got so drunk last year.
I agree. Oh, like, it's very easy to get drunk.
Yeah, I just didn't even think about that. But you have all the wineries and breweries. Slushies. And you just, slushies. And you just slushy around. But now that's such a success that Ellicottville is doing it. So that's super exciting. So I'm going to be emceeing it with Drew from the National Chicken Wing Festival. So me and him are emceeing it. And then for the football season for game day. Double Dubs is going to be doing some really cool stuff in Buffalo, probably making some announcements soon, but pretty much they'll have like a permanent location doing stuff here, which is going to be huge. And we're just super excited to bring that Wyoming fan base because they have a cult there. If we can just start bringing them into more Bills games and our, you know, our event, and like our tailgate just gets better and better. Wait till you see it. Like we're going to have a permanent stage this year. Our tent is just absolutely gorgeous. Our VIP tent is like 10 times better than what it was last year. It like really holds in the rain, the snow, and we have a bar now in VIP and a fire pit and stage access. So we're just going to keep upgrading.
I like this. We've been upgrading just like the Bills are looking to upgrade for the season. This is huge. All right. Yes. Well, thank you for catching up with us. It is going to be mayhem. Yeah. Never a bad idea to get a couple of Colts together and see what happens for sure. So shout out to you for making that happen.
So I'll see you at the draft, right?
We'll see you at Resurgence on Thursday for sure.
Woo. Come try our beer. Thanks for doing
this. Yep. Make sure to have a good night now.
All right.
Outlet Liquor is your place to buy a case. Stock up and save when you shop the lowest prices available every day at Outlet Liquor. You never have to wait for a sale. The more you buy, the more you save. Only at Outlet Liquor.
What's your outlet?
What the hell? Where's the outlet? Where's the outlet aspect there? We paid for the outlet. But with that said, I'm paying all you guys the big bucks for some great thoughts here. Draft look ahead. What are we looking forward to most here on draft night, Slick?
I really don't know. I'm assuming receiver pick here. Other than that, I don't have a whole lot of insight. You guys probably know these college ballers better than I do a little bit, but I'm looking forward to a great night of good vibes at Sports City Pizza Pub. Every night is game night at Sports City, and it just happens to be draft night as well on Thursday night. So, you know, we'll be there. We'll be posted up whenever the Bills pick, we'll be going live. Getting the crowd rowdy and watching some playoff games at the same time while we're at it.
Yes. So, all right. I'll ask you guys this. It's about what? It's like 10 minutes per pick about, right? I think now in the NFL.
Yep.
So over under an hour and a half till the Bills make their pick. Do they make a big trade up into the teens or do they stay put in there? That's really what it comes down to, because I think they could make the small trade up and keep us waiting all night and you guys will be hanging out there for a while, drinking some beers, having some wings, whatever you guys need to do, which is fine. I mean, hey, no problem with that. To that,
not complaining.
I do think that Bills pick, I think the closer we get to it, I think Bean's going to make a bigger jump than people imagine. I don't know if it's into the top 10, like for a Neighbors or a Dunze at number 9 or something like that. But I do think he jumps into the teens, maybe 17 with the Jaguars or something like that. And goes and gets a guy that he really likes. I think the receivers are going to go earlier than people think too. I think that's going to be part of the thing is everybody has, you know, none of these mock drafts like PFF having Brian Thomas Jr. drop to 28. There's no shot. Like it's just not going to happen. There's that run's going to go earlier than you think. And I think Brandon Bean's going to want to get involved in that. And I think we're going to have, I'd say at least 7 or 8 receivers drafted in the first round, honestly. Cause I think everybody's going to start getting antsy the time draft day comes and it starts moving. I think the Bills will be one of those teams. They know what they got to do.
And hey, I'm a simple man. As I'm getting older, journey through life, I might want to go to bed a little bit earlier. I would not be mad. And I'm actually looking for Brandon Bean. Let's make a pickup sooner. Maybe trade up a little bit. Get a nice flashy player. I would like that. It'd be fun. But I wouldn't mind going to bed before like 2 a.m. before the Bills pick at 28 anyways. I don't know. I think it's draft season. Nothing's more fun than like you're seeing your team trade up, grab a guy, and just building that anticipation towards preseason.
What was that stat that Bean has traded up in like how many first rounds?
A lot of movement.
It was a decent.
Not even just first rounds, just in like the fourth round, he'll be like, oh yeah, I'll go make this trade up. Like it's crazy.
For sure. I was just surprised at the number remembering back. But yeah, I'm excited. I kind of agree with you guys. I think Bean might get a little sneaky. Someone might give him something that's too good to turn down, you know?
Exactly.
I know everyone wants to get like trade up to 9 for how many times I've seen trade up to 9 for a Dunze or whatever. Mm-hmm. I could build a house with, but I really hope that if it's not for Marvin Harrison Jr., AKA my prize jewel, my pride and joy, that we don't trade up for anything then. Because I think when you trade up, you tend to have to overpay. And that's just how it is. It's like buying something, you know, at a premium on the black market on the NFL draft. You got to overpay in those situations.
But so. You know nothing about, by the way.
Yeah, I agree. I know nothing about. So it's like, you know, it's like when like in the it's like in that The Office when Pam says, you know, it's like crack. Like, you know, Pam knows nothing about doing crack. I know nothing about buying on the black market. So
I just want
I can only assume that that's what it's like. That's what it's like. But I know what it will be like again at Resurgence. It's going to be an amazing time with me, intern Vinny, Buffalo Food Slut, WGR crew, but it's also going to be a great time at Sports City with Slick, Donnie, and potentially someone else soon to be announced. We will see. We will see. But I'll tell you what doesn't need to be announced. The results of AEW Dynasty, gents. Very big event last night. Obviously, Swerve Strickland, your new AEW champion. Important time for AEW right now. No pressure, Swerve, but everything's going to be under a microscope as far as the ability to cut a promo, everything like that. So I don't doubt him, but it's going to be under scrutiny. It's going to be under a microscope like it arguably never has before. But your guys' thoughts, I was curious on the pay-per-view, the show, and obviously now going forward with AEW.
Yeah, I mean, AEW's kind of been at their lowest point for a while now. It kind of a fault to them, but also just the massive success that WWE has had in the past calendar year. And for AEW, I mean, their past couple like television shows haven't been my favorite, haven't been the best, but they followed up with arguably one of their better pay-per-views in such a long time. I mean, just that Danielson Ospreay match alone can carry that show on top of everything else, new world champion, you name it. I mean, I care about Jack Perry again, so that's I think the biggest takeaway of the night by itself. But I think this is a good stepping stone for AEW. They needed this pay-per-view so badly because WWE has been really just up in a rocket ship up. AEW need this. Hopefully they can go in the right direction. We'll see what happens on Wednesday on Dynamite.
The Jack Perry grin will be a meme we'll see for the rest of our lives now. So
it was pretty good. Love that moment. Yeah.
Love that moment. Did you guys see the minute and a half long video of him just kind of lurking in the crowd today? I'll send it later where he's just kind of walking back and forth and everybody's starting to build up like, oh, that's got to be him. Got to be him. And then he runs in. Really well done. Ospreay Deus, that's one of the best matches I've ever watched in my life. And that's almost 24 hours later. I've never been like, it's been a while since I've been that just locked into a match from start to finish. There's only a couple times a year that you can do that with a wrestling match. The closing stretch was like just something I've never seen before. Watching wrestling television, you have the whole internet debating whether Brian Davis is actually hurt or not, because that's how good of a worker this guy is. Like, I mean, like, it's every little bit about it, all the details, all the big spots in that match hit hard. But yeah, Swerve being crowned finally, like, he's been the uncrowned champion now, even since when MJF was champion. They had that stare down on Dynamite the one time, and it was him and that they were, you know, had a little shit talking back and forth. Like, we've known for a long time Swerve was going to get there. Finally happened. It was a great match. Joe had a really fun run for a couple months, but I'm excited to see what the direction of the title picture is with Swerve, because it feels like it's a lot. Like, we had a year of MJF. You know what you're going to get with Samoa Joe as champion, like just the kind of character and guy presence he is. This is brand new territory, and I'm excited to see what Swerve does with it.
We talk so much about the new era for WWE starting. I feel like Dynasty was almost AEW's way of opening up its own new era in a sense. And they did everything they needed to do moment-wise last night. We have a new TBS champion homegrown in Willow Nightingale, who's about a feud with Mercedes going into Double or Nothing in Vegas. I mean, that's dream booking 101. Thank you, Tony Khan. Kazuchika Okada and Pac delivered. We knew that they were going to, but I think even that exceeded some of our expectations. And then the two matches before the main event, as well as the main event too, but Danielson and Ospreay was worth the money alone. And then that ladder match, phenomenal. And people care about Jack Perry again. People are jacking it again.
People are jacked up again. And that's not necessarily because we are turning back the page to a former era in the form of the Sabres hiring Lindy Ruff. That's not because we have a new chapter that we were writing with the Bills this Thursday as they add to their rosters. They change the landscape of their team. Could it be a trade? Could it be Justin Jefferson in the wings? Could history be rewriting itself? Could we have Lindy Ruff back with the Sabres and the Bills trading Minnesota for their receiver again? Could time be a flat circle? You never know, but you have to stay tuned. You have to find out, folks. So make sure you're following Gatesy35. Make sure you're following Jake our friend, your friend, my friend, our friend, Micah. Make sure you're following Slick Saturday and make sure you are following this train. And most importantly, go and make sure to have a good night now.